May my speaking and all of our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." It is worth speaking clearly about what is going on in the reading from Hosea this morning, despite its rather indelicate subject matter. The remarkable action that Hosea undertakes at God's command shows us both the tragedy and perversity of human sin and the glory of God's faithfulness to Israel and to us, whose offenses are indeed miserable. The prophet Hosea, a man living in the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century, is commanded by God to marry Gomer, a prostitute. And scholars have speculated whether she was a conventional prostitute or a cultic prostitute, one who served as a prostitute in the temples and the worship of Baal, one of the local gods in that area. In any case, she made her living selling her body for sex, which is something profoundly against the law of the Lord. Hosea marries her, publicly commits himself to her, even as she continues in her prostitution. She bears three children in the story, and all of them, the scripture implies, are not by Hosea, but had come about through her prostitution. And at the Lord's command, as these children are born, Hosea gives these children names of judgment. The first, a son, Jezreel, whose name references atrocities committed by Israelite kings in the valley by the same name. God promises vengeance in that same valley, and the boy is a sign of that promised vengeance. The second, a daughter, Leruhamah, meaning no mercy, no pity. God will not show mercy on Israel for their unfaithfulness. He will not continue to bless their armies. The third, a son, Lo-ami, not my people, his name means. I am not your God, and you are not my people, the Lord says. An alarming and dismaying revelation. At some point, we learn a little bit later in the book, Gomer leaves Hosea and moves in with another man. Most of the book of Hosea is made up of his preaching, of the delivery of messages from the Lord that is condemning Israel's unfaithfulness. Israel was making idols and sacrificing to them, reveling in the worship of Baal, raising up kings and making war without God's blessing or consultation. And as Hosea is preaching this message, the bizarre drama of his life is playing out. God is saying through Hosea to the people of Israel, if you want to understand what you are doing, who you are, and the consequences of your actions, look at Hosea, Gomer, and her children. I was your God, your husband. You were my people, my wife, but you have become as a prostitute. Israel has done more than broken the rules or reneged on a contract. They have cheated on God with the other powers of the age, the god Baal, political power, military might. And the fruit of these unfaithful unions is God's displeasure and his wrath and disconnection and disunion. The full weight of the metaphor of Hosea's relationship with Gomer is lost if we don't consider sex and God's purposes for sex as we think about this situation. Sex, the church teaches, is unitive and procreative. It brings a man and a woman together physically and spiritually. A man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, we read in Genesis 2. And it is meant to bear fruit in children. Be fruitful and multiply, God tells people on the sixth day of creation. Most of us in here who are married or have been married in the past, I think, and I hope, know how beautiful and powerful sex can be when it's oriented toward those ends. When two committed partners are seeking to love and serve each other and are open to the blessing of children. And I expect that those same of us, and probably more, know how disappointing, how shameful, how alienating, how infuriating sex can be when that isn't the case. What Israel is doing in its idolatry is utterly misappropriating, misusing, abusing their human capacities for worship and service. God wants his people Israel to be united with him, to know the prosperity, the growth that comes from that union. But idolatry is exactly analogous to the way in which prostitution, adultery, casual sex, abuses the unitive and procreative capacities of our bodies. And so sin, from this angle that we see in Hosea, is described as prostitution to idols. It is uniting ourselves spiritually, even physically, to something other than God. And we don't tend to think about sin in this way. We want to minimize sin. We often think about sin as that it's simply breaking the rules, right? Now, there's these things we've done that we shouldn't have done, and these things that we, I'm going to mess this up. Things that we ought to have done that we didn't do, and that about covers it. We can look at the list and figure that out. But that's not the fullness of sin at all. That can be descriptive of sin, but Hosea is showing how much more significant it is, more serious it is. Sin is seeking to join ourselves to powers other than God, to place our hope for prosperity, for fruitfulness, somewhere other than in God's creative love. What we reap in sin is not ultimately fulfillment, is not ultimately the fruit that God wants us to bear. What we reap is what God shows us in Gomer's children. It's judgment and alienation. And it's worth thinking through how this works a little bit, because idols have never called themselves idols. And we tell ourselves all sorts of things to to convince ourselves that our sin is justifiable or is not, in fact, sin. Idols make promises that are analogous to those that God makes, the promise of being united with something greater than yourself, and of fruit and growth coming out of that unity. And so a fine place to start with this, right, is the idol that Jesus talks about more than any other, which is the idol of wealth, and to think about the unitive and procreative promises that wealth makes. Wealth, money, property calls us to delight in it and to imagine its capacities as our own capacities. We can, after all, convert it into anything we want. Food and drink, buildings, travel, influence. And we can take those things that we buy into us, or we think we can. We guard wealth and protect it. We tend it like a garden, as if it has real power to grow and multiply on its own to bring us future prosperity. Jesus talks about wealth as an idol because it seeks to become a part of us and promises more. To sort of stay with the seductive, powerful sorts of idols, power is much the same way. What I can and do influence becomes a part of me. And more is there for the taking, the next promotion, the next person to oversee or control, the next election to win. But it's not just things like wealth and power. The sadder, more pathetic sins of our life are also rooted in idolatry. There is the desire that many of us have, and that I've known from time to time, to escape, to be free from the obligations of work or of family, or simply to be free from boredom. And so we seek escape and distraction with the television or the internet or drink or travel or even our work. And each of these promise us something, if just to make the other things seem to go away for a short time. But they become a part of us, forming our imaginations and dulling our senses. All of our sin is oriented toward an idol of one kind or another, a power that we can share in, that promises us to make us more than we are. And Hosea confronts this very human tendency with the intentionally provocative metaphor of prostitution. And it is properly shameful and disgusting. It says, what you are doing in joining yourself to idols is what a prostitute does in joining herself to a man. God paints this ugly picture in the lives of Hosea and Gomer to show the consequences of that idolatry. The message of Hosea to Israel and to us is far from a message without hope, however. Even in today's reading, it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. In the third chapter of Hosea, the prophet goes to Gomer and retrieves her from the man that she had taken up with. He pays the man 15 shekels, about a third of a pound of silver, and 9 bushels of barley to take her back with him. Idols are not particularly loyal, you see. They're ready to sell us off pretty quickly. But God will seek us back. And we can be one with him again, and we can know the fruit that comes from him. In the 14th chapter of Hosea, right a couple verses from the very close of the book, God promises fruitful communion with God, and it's beautiful. I will be as the dew to Israel. He shall blossom as the lily. He shall strike root as the poplar. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his fragrance like the wine of Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish as a garden. They shall blossom as the vine. Their fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. And that is a fruitful and fertile image, unitive and procreative, even suggestive. It is a picture of what Israel lost and of what they would have again, intimate and profoundly fruitful union with God. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this promise to Israel and the repudiation of all idols. That last verse of today's reading echoes in the first chapter of St. John's Gospel. As many as received him, Jesus Christ the Word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Like Hosea with Gomer, God bought us back once and for all from the idols that we have prostituted ourselves to by the sacrifice of the Son on the cross. And this makes possible a new creative union with God. We can be born anew by the creative power of God's grace. We can pray with confidence to be made one body with him, that he may dwell with us and we in him. We can bear forth by his grace the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the rich relationship that God is constantly calling us back to as his sons and daughters. Away from idolatry, from the lies of material prosperity, of power, of distracted pleasure, to true peace in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.